have my being. And I give him glory, and I shall give him the glory for the rest of my days, because I love praising God. I thank God for my husband. I give him honor in his absence as he is out on the road pursuing purpose for this house, pursuing vision. And I bless the Lord for him. Won't you stand and give God praise for him? Amen. Thank God, for he is the visionary of this house. He is the love of my life. He is the priest of our home. And I bless him. And I give God thanks for him. I thank God for all the elders who are here. I give you honor. And the ministers in the house. And for all of our live streamers, evangelists, thank you. All of our live streamers online, and those who are present in our congregation, our family, and our friends, thank you to all of our guests. Thank you for being here today. I pray that as the word of God comes forth, that God would do a new thing among us. And I pray that he would deposit his purpose on the inside of your spirit. And that he will refuel your engine so that you can go to your next destination purpose point. Look at your neighbor on the side of you and say, what is your next destination? Ask the person on the other side of you, what is your next destination? You have to know your destination, because if you're traveling without a destination, it is called wandering. Yes. My God. If you're traveling without a destination, it is called drifting. So you must know your destination. And if I were to give you a take home today, it would be stay on task. Tell somebody, stay on task. Amen. This morning, we will be sharing three remedies with you to prevent wandering and drifting, but to help us to stay on task. Our text this morning will be coming from the book of Nehemiah. We will be in the New Living Translation version. And if you have your Bibles, hold your Bibles up in the air. If it's your phone, God bless the reading of the word as we go forth, and let it be planted deep in our spirits. And let us not only be hearers, but doers of your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And as we turn to the book of Nehemiah, I'm going to give you a backdrop. Nehemiah is serving King Artaxerxes. Notice the season that it is in, late autumn. You will find Nehemiah, he is in the fortress of Susa. At the fortress of Susa, he is the king's cupbearer. And his brother comes to him along with some friends from Judah, and they come to visit Nehemiah. While they are there, Nehemiah asks them, how are the Jews doing that were taken into captivity? How are they doing? How are things going in Jerusalem? And they replied to Nehemiah, not well, Nehemiah. They are in great turmoil. They are in trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down and the gates have been burned. If you would now turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, looking at verse 4, we will take an inside look at Nehemiah's reaction to what they told him. If you would begin to read verse 4, read. When I heard this,
I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven.
And if you would just mentally underline, or you got your Bible, you want to underline, or your tablet, you can underline the word I heard, underline sat down, underline wept, underline for days, underline I mourned, fasted, prayed to the God of heaven. Did y'all get all those underlines? All right. Here we see the news of this caused Nehemiah's heart to burn because he cried and he wept and he mourned and he fasted for days and days. What God was doing, he was downloading purpose into Nehemiah's heart. Sometimes when that purpose is downloaded into your heart, it begins to burn. And you cry and you feel like, I got to do something. And sometimes you mumble and you just talk. When you're in the shower, you find yourself talking to yourself and you're talking out the plan and you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I standing in the shower talking and answering myself about what I have something going on in me? It's because God is downloading purpose. And that's what he was doing to Nehemiah. He was downloading purpose into Nehemiah's heart. What is that thing that is burning in your heart that God has placed there and you cannot ignore it? You try to sleep, but you can't sleep. You try to eat, but you can't eat. All you can do, you feel the burning. And you're the one that keeps saying, gosh, somebody ought to do something about this. See those kids over there? Somebody, they shouldn't let them be that way. Somebody ought to do something about that. And you find yourself crying in the midnight hours or even in the day hours or even in the morning hours because there is not a solution in place to remedy the problem that is burning in your heart. Amen. Well, I come to tell you that the burning is not for naught. For God is saying that you are the solution to the problem. He has put it in you, and it is in you for a reason. Remember now, here in Nehemiah, it is in autumn that this burning is going on. So this brings us to our first remedy of how to stay on task. You must keep your purpose fervent.
My God.
Many people might think that when I say purpose, that means that you have to be a preacher or you have to be an evangelist or you have to be on the stage or you have to be a prophet. No. That's not all purpose.
My God.
Purpose comes in many different sizes, forms, and shapes. A mother has a purpose. A father has a purpose. A wife, a husband has a purpose. All of us have a purpose. Purpose is just not on the inside of these four walls. Purpose is outside that door and that door inside of the world's walls. So you are not confined to one place or one thing or it positioned in a certain way to call it purpose. And you say, that doesn't fit me. Because God has designed you for something that is so peculiar.
My God.
It is something that you do. And people look at you and ask you, how do you do that? And you're like, I don't know, I just do it. It just comes to me like water. That's a part of your purpose. That's a part of, take a look at it. Take a real close look at it. Because people are being fed by what God has placed in you. Stay on task. Now you'll see that Nehemiah for days, he prayed, he sat down, he wept, and he did talk to God. But you will find that in verse 5, if you turn to verse 5, it says, then I said, Lord God of heaven. So as you can see, the purpose that is burning in your heart, you just can't think about it. You got to get up and be about it. You have to begin to not only pray and mumble before the Lord, Lord, I need you to just do this and I just need you to do that. You have to open your mouth and declare to the Lord. Now, what Nehemiah began to do, he told the Lord, Lord, you're great and you're sovereign. He told God who he was. And then he says, God, you keep your covenant of unfailing love. And he goes on to say, God, I want you to forgive us, the Jews. You know, we, the Israelites, we sinned against you and we didn't keep what you said. And he even included himself. God, I even sinned. My family sinned. So he confessed his sin. He laid it all out before the Lord. He was honest and true before God. And then you'll read on the next thing he says, but God, remember your word. Remember the covenant that you made with Israel. That even if we're spread to the ends of the earth, even if we are exiled, if we return to you and if we would obey, you would bring us all back to the place that will bring your name the honor. And that place was the wall of Jerusalem that was being built. So as you can see, Nehemiah was setting it up. He told God who he was, told him what he can do, got himself straight. And then he said, God, this is what your word says. When you remind God of his word, this is key. I heard her say something this morning. This is access. When you begin to remind God of his word, the whole thing will open up for you. Because God responds to his word. Just because you cry, that doesn't mean that he responds. But when you say, Lord God, you said, you said, and you call out on the purpose and the promises of God. God, you said you never leave me nor forsake me. You said you'd be with me to the ends of the earth. God begins to say, what? What did you say? I must come to your aid. Because your word has moved me. And I identify with my word. And I move in its wake. And my hand is great. Access. Know the word. Speak the word. And you'll begin to see God move. And everything around you begin to shift and to change. So Nehemiah began to tell God his word. And then you'll see that Nehemiah made his request. Hallelujah. He made his request. Now, as you look in verse 5, it is. Is it in verse 5? Let's go to verse 7. I think it was about 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I go to verse 7, I want to start at verse chapter 2. And I want to show you something. Chapter 2. If you'll go to chapter 2 of Nehemiah for me. Nehemiah chapter 2. There it is. Early the following spring. Remember, late autumn, and now it's early spring. In the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. Verse 2. So the king asked me, Why are you looking so sad? Mind you, the last part of Nehemiah's prayer was, Lord, I ask that you would give me favor because I'm going to ask a thing of the king. And when I ask this thing, I need you to give the king a kind heart toward me. And it reads, you don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified. Now, Nehemiah was terrified because he was the cupbearer for the king. And what does the cupbearer do? They are the first one to take a drink. And if it's a poison, they are the first one to go. Because the king does not get that drink from the cupbearer. Because the cupbearer is standing on the wall looking out for the king that his life may be preserved. So anytime the king sees his cupbearer looking sad, alert, alert, something is going on undercover. Something is not right. So when he began to ask Nehemiah, what's going on? Nehemiah knew what happened to other cupbearers before him. So he was afraid that the king would think that he was plotting against him. But he said in verse 3, but I replied, no. Long live the king. I'm not trying to do that to you. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Verse 4. The king said, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven. Y'all know how that go. When you're about to ask something, oh God, here it go. Help me, Jesus. Nehemiah did that. You see it? You see it right there? With the prayer to the God of heaven. He said, God, help me. Go on to verse 5. I replied after he said that. If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. Verse 6. The king with the queen sitting beside him asked, how long will you be gone, Nehemiah? Because when Nehemiah is gone, there's no one to drink the cup before him. He has to choose somebody else. He's had Nehemiah for a long time. He's trusted Nehemiah. He knows Nehemiah. So he's putting his own life on the line.
Come on now.
After I told him how long I would be gone, the king probably paused and said, Then he said he agreed to Nehemiah's request. Verse 7. So leave verse 7 right there. How many of you know that when purpose is burning deep on the inside of you, when God has called you to do something, think about it like this. If it's a mother with a child and something is happening to that child, you know that you are that child's purpose because you have to get that child to a certain place in its life. If a car is coming in the road, you will put yourself in its way to rescue that child. If the child is choking, you will automatically have, just like the Matrix, you will have that choking thing downloaded into you. You will push that child. You will do whatever you need to do, and that thing is coming out. Whether you made it up, you invented it, whatever you had to do, you did what you had to do. You find yourself doing things that you didn't know you could do. You find yourself asking for things that you wouldn't normally ask for. You step out of your comfort zone. You step out of the box. You throw that lid off the box and you begin to ask and you begin to request. And not only that, you look for a yes. You look for a yes because your purpose is on the line and you have to stay on the timeline. This person might be in your wake of what God has placed in your heart. Maybe it's a grant that you are needing to pursue what God is putting in your heart and you don't know how to write a grant. But God has many grant writers, and you have to ask. And people are willing to do it. They have the same purpose, but it's hidden and you can't see it. But when you ask, it will be revealed. So look at this. He began to ask a bold thing. Not only did he ask the king if he could go, that was a big thing in itself. He says, if it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on the way to Judah. That's one big thing. The second thing he said, and please, king, give me a letter addressed to Aspa, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates and the temple fortress, for the city and the walls, and for the house I want for myself. Come on now. He asked a big thing, being that the king had a lot of money, it didn't mean anything. But for Nehemiah to put himself on the line to ask, it was that purpose that was beating in his heart and says, Nehemiah, you must. When purpose is beating your heart, fear will disappear.
Come on now.
When purpose is beating in your heart, fear will be diminished.
Yes.
And everything will bow down to your purpose. So ask and it shall be given. I give you permission to ask and God will make the way for you. Amen. God will make the way for you. Now, this brings us to our second remedy. And you can write this down if you'd like. You may have, I really need your attention on this. Please. You may have to go alone. Or with only a faithful few.
Amen.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you have to go alone. Here, Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12, he talks about how at night, once he got there to Judah, he talked about how at night he slipped out. He was just on his animal and he just took a few men with him. He didn't tell anybody where he was going or what he was doing. They didn't even know that he had slipped out. Okay? They didn't know. And what he had to do, he had to go and survey the land to see just how bad the damage was. When you have purpose in your heart, it's just not gonna get up and do something on its own. You have to do research on that thing. You need to know what was before it, what's after it, what God has placed, the plan that he's placed in you, and how it's going to make a difference. So Nehemiah knew that the work was big. He knew that he needed more than just him and that few that was with him. But Nehemiah said he can tell his plan to everybody. When God gives you a plan, you can't tell everybody. You can tell somebody, but you can't tell everybody. Because some people are purpose killers. Some people are purpose stealers. And some people are not purpose builders. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a time to tell. Tell somebody it's a time to tell. When God has placed a plan in your heart, you get it in order. Pray before the Lord. Sit before him. Kneel before him. Face flat before him. God, you put this burning thing in my heart. You put this burning thing in my heart. And you just don't want to be naive and run out. Because sometimes when you have it burning in you and you tell somebody, seems like it just shuts the fire off just a little bit. You still burning with it, but it's not as fervent as it was before. You have to keep that purpose fervent. Sit before the Lord. Get the whole plan downloaded. And if you tell somebody, tell a faithful few. Those who will be praying for you, praying with you. Saying, God, and the ones that you can say, if the Lord speaks something to you, I trust you to tell me. And I trust you that we can build this thing together that God is wanting to do and carry out in the earth. Mind you, that it was late autumn that the burning started. And it was early spring that he got up and he did something. God said, it is your season to get up and do something. Get up and do something. Get up and do it. You can do it. He has equipped and purposed you to do it. You can do this thing. What God is placing. If God has given you the vision, he has given the provision for the vision that he has downloaded into your heart and into your mind. And if you're saying, well, Miss Shanita, I don't understand what you're talking about because I don't have anything that's burning in me. Yes, after this day, you will. Because God is doing a new thing among us. He's not only doing it on the stage. God is doing it in this row. In this row, I decree it. In this row, I decree it. I decree it. From wall to wall, from post to post, that God is downloading purpose into your spirit. Because I want you to be accountable. I don't want you to stand on the sideline. I want you to be a participator. A participator in the kingdom of God. No longer can the kingdom go without you. The kingdom is suffering without you. We need you. God is calling you. You know he's calling you. You hear him calling you. But you sit back, slide back in that seat and fold those hands. But I see that thumb doing like this. I see it. I see it. Because God is stirring you on the inside. He's called you for something. You're like, I'm not worthy. What can I do? God, you're right. You're not worthy. God makes you worthy. You can't do it by yourself. I agree. We all agree. You are right on that point. But God makes you worthy for the call. He makes you worthy for the purpose that he has called you to. Now, as you can see, Nehemiah had a plan. And with the same plan, he said, I must present it to the people so that we can have buy-in. We got to have buy-in. So what he said, he went and he said, he called them all together. He said, this is our state. We are in ruins. He said, this is a disgrace. Somebody got to do something about this. But he took responsibility for that somebody. Because he said, I will lead. He already determined in his heart, if nobody else goes, I'll go. He said, this is a disgrace and something has to be done about it. And that's what you're saying in your heart today. This thing is not right. Something has to be done. I need to do something. God is commissioning you. Remember the next thing Nehemiah said was, I want to tell you a testimony. I want to tell you a testimony of what the king did. I prayed and God gave us the heart of the king. He gave us everything that we needed. That's how I got here, people. So God is already on our side. That's what it says in chapter 2. It says that when the king gave Nehemiah what he needed, it was because God was on his side. God is on your side today. So as he began to say, this is what we need to do. We need to rebuild the wall. So the people looked around and was like, that's been in my heart the whole time. I'm glad somebody said it. Let's rebuild a wall. So they began to gather together and they worked hard. They worked hard. You will have people that will come alongside of you that will work so hard for the purpose and the vision that you have in your heart. Know why? Because it's the same thing that is in their heart. And they were just waiting for you to move. They were waiting for you to move so they can help you get it done. They were waiting for you. So that brings us to our third remedy, which is that you have to expect to go against the tide. Expect to go against the tide. Because everybody won't like the good work that God has called you to do. You might say, well, why these people don't like me? I haven't done anything to them. I'm just trying to do good for the children. I'm trying to do good for the elderly. I'm trying to do good for the justice system. I'm just trying to do good, God. I don't understand. Expect to go against the tide. It comes with the territory. Everybody is not going to like the good that you endure. Ask me to prove it. All right, I'll prove it. Nehemiah, if you will go with me, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And if you would read. Just one moment. Chapter, verse 1, everybody read. Sanballat was very... Verse 2, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap? Come on now. So you ask yourself, what do you do when purpose and problems collide? What do I do when purpose and problems collide? It's right here in my face. I can't go to the left. I can't go to the right. I can't move back. I can only move forward, but right now I'm standing still because the problems are in my face. They are impeding my progress. They are discouraging my heart. They are causing me to cry. They are causing me to question, was I supposed to do this in the first place? God, I'm doing good. You have to scratch the good out. And just say, God, I'm doing what you called me to do. Hallelujah. Because sometimes it doesn't matter, as you can see, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. It doesn't matter if it's good. They didn't like it because it was good. So the first thing that you have to do when problems and purpose collide is like what Nehemiah did in chapter 2, verse 20. What Nehemiah did, he declared faith from his mouth. He said, we will build this wall. He said, can you read that? The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servant, will start rebuilding this wall, but you won't have no part in this, no legal right in this. I don't know even why you're saying anything. You're not even a part of this. You don't have no portion in what God is doing for us. If you're not for me, then you're against me. And all the good that is coming to this, you get no portion or part of it. So please just move out of the way and let me do what God has called me to do. This is what Nehemiah is saying. He declared faith. To your problems, you must declare purpose and you must declare faith. You must be positive. This is what I always say. Your words that you speak will either be your poison or it will be your promise. The words you speak will change the very landscape of where you are and what you're doing and how those things are acting in your environment. If you are coming to work and you have an employee that's acting up or that's acting out, having attitude, and it's hard to keep positivity, God will download a plan. He'll download a plan. But you have to pray and ask God for strategic steps for you to take. And because you asked, He will do it. When problems and purpose collide, you must speak faith. The next thing you see that Nehemiah did in chapter 4, verse 15, is that he prayed. He prayed that God would frustrate the plans of the enemy. Did you know you could pray that? For people that are fighting against you, whether you know it or you don't know it, you can pray God to frustrate their plans. If you notice that when the people found out that God had frustrated their plans and what they decided to do, because trouble was coming and attacks were coming from all areas, all sides, everywhere attacks were coming. Notice. Attacks were coming not only from the outside, but they were coming from the inside too. When God has given you a group of people, you might be attacked from the outside, but you might be attacked from the inside too. And it's not that they have a heart to hurt you. They just out of the way. And you got to realign and readjust. Sometimes you have to prune. Sometimes you have to prune and let that fruit fall to the ground, because if that fruit stay on that tree, it's going to ruin your other good fruit. So Nehemiah had trouble coming from the inside. And what that trouble was is that some men and their wives begin to rise up and say, hey, you know, we have sold our land, we have sold our houses, and we're just trying to keep food. You know, Nehemiah didn't ask them for anything. He didn't ask them for anything. He did, even though he may have needed something, he depended on God. And when God did something, he did something for someone, he said, God, I want you to reward me. He never asked the people. He never looked for a pat on the back. When the group of people that you're in, don't look for them to say thank you. Don't look for it, because you will be disappointed. You'll want to turn around and say, I ain't giving them nothing. I ain't never get. You'll want to turn your back on what God has called you to do. If you just give it and forget it, set it and forget it, you can do your purpose free. And if they give it back, they give. If they don't, they won't. It's all right. It's all right. So he never asked for anything. He looked for his reward from God. And God is a great rewarder. He's a great rewarder. He's a greater rewarder than anybody in your group could ever do for you. He's a greater rewarder. He's a greater rewarder. Hallelujah. If you are serving in church somewhere, don't look for it. Don't look for it. He's a great rewarder. He is. So the trouble was coming from the inside, and they were saying, Nehemiah, this is not right. I'm selling my land. I'm doing this. We have to sell our children, and the nobles, they're putting more weight on us, and they're not doing the same thing that we're having to do. So Nehemiah had to take care of that. Purpose will embolden you to do things and to confront things that you wouldn't normally confront. Now, these people were nobles. They were aristocrats. They were people that had a lot of money and a lot of clout and a lot of pull. Nehemiah is a newbie into the city, trying to lead somebody. He's a newbie in the city trying to tell somebody what to do. But when God is on your side, there is an authority that he gives you that you walk in, you sleep in, you run in, you walk in. And it's like you're standing before a bull. It don't matter. Because the purpose must be fulfilled. So he went before them and he told them, no, this is not right. This is what we need to do. And he restored order and balance in Jerusalem, in the city of God. Just like Nehemiah in chapters 4 and 5, trouble will come from all directions. And if you read in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about how the opposition continued. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall. Remember, he's progressed in the purpose. And that no gaps remain. No gaps. When God calls you to do something, you can't half do it. He's going to hold you accountable. You got to make sure every gap is closed, every window is sealed, every crack is filled. He said, no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. Verse 2. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Remember that. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. Verse 3. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come down. Why should I stop working to come and meet you? When trouble comes repeatedly, it came 4 times. And every time, Nehemiah responded with the same response. It was continued. You have to have your heart positioned and know that you are going to stand for what God has called you to do. No matter what the opposition, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, you must position your heart in the plane of, oh no. Position your mind in the plane of, oh no. And this finger right here, you got to position it in the plane of, oh no. Every time Nehemiah responded, he said, oh no, I'm not coming down. I'm doing a great work. And I can't stop, and I can't come down from what God has called me to do, from the purpose to entertain what Pastor Steve calls foolishness. I can't entertain foolishness. Everybody say foolishness. When problems come, that's what it brings. It's a distraction. It brings distraction and confusion. Because the enemy wants to take you off course. So you will forget. You'll put it on the back burner. You won't keep it fervent in your heart. He'll make you forget it so you can lose the desire to do it. Because you tried one time. You tried one thing and it didn't work. So that's all right. That's all right. It's just too hard. But you cannot give up in the face of opposition. You must press forward. Keep rowing. And so Nehemiah knew that this opposition was coming. And he said, oh no, I'm not doing it. He said, I'm not coming down to talk to you. And trouble comes to break your resolve, to intimidate you, and to stop you from doing what God says. But in verse 6, Nehemiah goes on to say, although that this is coming, he said, I asked God, he prayed, to give me strength to complete the work. And today, if you're asking, I have a purpose in my heart, God, there is, whether I'm a mom, whether I'm on a mission in school, whatever the purpose that is set before me, whether it's spiritual, whether it's something that's natural, God is telling you, don't give up. He has a spiritual purpose for you. Don't neglect that. We all are ministers. And we have to let his light shine through us. And we must tell people about Jesus so that they too can inherit this goodness that we live and that we talk about. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the purpose that God is calling you to, if today you are needing strength for God to just download it into you. God, I've tried this. I've tried that. I've even tried medication to be able to give me what I need to do what I need to do. And it's not working, because what you need is a spiritual refuel. What you need is a boost on the inside. If you would stand to your feet.